This is Kim Allen. You're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 38, entitled Ruthless Prioritization. The best way to make sure you complete your task is through ruthless prioritization. That means deciding not to do things you really like to do. It also means deciding what is most important as far as tasks, actions, going to the grocery store, what have you, when everything on your list feels critical. And so today, I'm going to open up before I even say anything about our guests and just kind of paint a little bit of a backstory just so that we can kind of get the jitters off of this conversation. So our special guest today has the last name Allen, and my mom's maiden name is Allen. And so just out of sheer coincidence, I reached out to her on LinkedIn and I said, you know what, do you have any family in this part of the region, part of the country? And lo and behold, she did. Of course, it wasn't in the same state. It was in an adjacent state. And so that's how our dialogue kind of got started. And so as we take a deeper look into our special guest, Kim Allen, we find that she's a human resource professional known to be a dedicated expert with unparalleled integrity. Now she performs as a director of talent for the Allante Group based on the firm's international headquarters located in Houston, Texas. She has over 25 years of experience in organization, strategic management, executive coaching, and talent selection for the purpose of building a high-performance organization, ensuring optimization of the team's capability in support of business growth. Kim has also held in various executive positions for companies such as many Fortune 500 companies. Just to name a few that really stood out to me, AT&T was one, and I think Motifil Oil Technology Group was another. And so, you know, my hat's off to Kim with all of the different roles and responsibilities that she's had. So Kim possesses a senior leadership competency extraordinary. So it is basically in-depth in human resources with a proven track record of delivering results. She's received numerous awards that attest her ability to transform a workplace into high-performance culture. And so I'm going to have to say, with some of the accolades I'm about to read off, because I don't think we've had anybody on the show that has had some of these great accolades. So I'm just going to hit some of the high points. She's received the Houston Chronicle Top Leadership Award in 2017 as being the best boss in town, people. Woo, my God. Who's Who in Black Houston Award in 2010. Next Generation Leader based on the NAMIC Award. Honors an emerging executive of colors in their career and success commitment towards fostering diversity in the workplace. She's been featured and quoted in numerous articles on personal brands, workplace innovations, and attracting and retaining talent. Oh my God, I don't even know if I could have even gotten all that out. It was kind of almost like a tongue twister. She's got a lot going on. She's been a director of talent management. She's been a global human resources director. She's been a regional vice president. She's been a strategic human resource business partner. And she's also worked in human resources. Kim holds a bachelor's of science in business administration and a master's of business administration with a concentration of human resource management, both from Troy University. So as I lead up to all of this, let's talk a little bit about some of the other passions and things that she's gone off and done. Overall, to our listeners, she's extremely passionate about education and truly, one of the most formidable things that I'm very passionate about also is, you know, the next generation of leaders and preparing them for the workplace. She sat on many panels and had many speaking engagements across campuses across the United States, basically delivering messages to students and student markets. She's also served on the board of the Boys and Girls Club in the greater Houston area. She's also a member of the Board of Women in Cable Television. She's on the chair committee of the National Society for Multi-Ethnic Cultures in Communications. And my God, man, I tell you what, Kim, we're going to jump to some fun facts. I need to get some fun facts in here. Here's a fun fact. I think this is just going to blow the doors off of how we talk about our topic today. Kim enjoys cooking and pretends she has her own cooking show in her kitchen. But that's not the best one, people. That's not the best one. The best one is Kim likes to dance and comes up with her own dance moves on her self-proclaimed being a TikTok star. Now, whoa, here we go. Kim, do you have any opening remarks for our listeners?
Phenomenal, Greg. Thank you so much. It's such a joy. I am so honored to be a part of the podcast group. I am so excited for today. I can hardly wait to get started on our topic today. But what you've blown me away with that introduction, for sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, listen, let's kind of jump into this. I mean, you have so much in-depth experience, a wealth of knowledge in human resources. And you know, we've had people on our show that have talked about human resources and all the different aspects. But I figured through this dialogue, I wanted to take like a slightly different spin, because based on your experience, particularly now that you're at like an executive level, you know, prioritization is key, you know, understanding how to weather the storm. And so one of the topics I kind of want to jump into is, how do you go about building, you know, that strong communication? Because in a lot of cases, we find that communication sometimes becomes the detriment to the success of prioritization and making sure you're able to effectively move forward the way that you see fit that things should be carried out. So let's talk about that a little bit. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Sure. I mean, because with communication, that's the key to getting prioritization started. If you are changing how you're doing things and you have not communicated that, that can really get people unnerved. They're not knowing what's going on. So being able to say, this is a way we're going to have to start operating so that we can get to the things that are most important. We can get to the things that's going to move the needle a lot faster. And you have to be able to openly have that discussion of why this change is occurring. Everyone wants to know what's the why behind doing something differently. So that's setting the tone to get you ready to be ruthless in prioritizing.
Excellent. So as a part of, and I think you brought up one point that I'd like to kind of dive into just a little bit, is obviously making sure that as you change course and direction, is that you kind of get that information out. What are some of the things that you do to get that information out to your team? Because you're working on an international scale, different time zones, different everything. How do you get that information out to your staff?
And the main thing is goal setting. So we're talking about, what do we want to accomplish this year, this quarter, this month, this week? And then you're going through, here are the different priorities that I have. And it's important to be open with what, sometimes as leaders, we don't necessarily show our vulnerability to our team. It's important to let them know what all you have on your plate. And when you do that and you show, we're bringing on another international group that we've never had before. This is happening during the pandemic. We have our status quo business as usual that we're having to do. This is going to result in me being on calls earlier or later. When you do that, then you have people who are so willing to help accomplish the goals, because you're going the same way. You're all trying to reach the same destination, and they will be there for you. And to be able to have that communication is either through phone calls. You'll have the WebEx meetings that we'll have of your phone call. You'll have the video chats. We'll have the Microsoft team meetings, trying to get that face-to-face connection when we're so distant and apart. Getting to know one another, getting to know, am I a morning person? Do I have my best, good and best use in the morning, afternoon, evening? Using all of that to try to chart a course of where you're going to go and where people can help you the most.
Right. And that was very, very well stated, which kind of leads me into my next question, because, you know, even running a podcast, running my own business, having a technology company, I mean, all the things I've got going on, mm-hmm. very much similar to your stance, you know, we're dealing with people on a global scale. And certainly mapping out my work day becomes sometimes just a daunting task, because, you know, some mornings, if I'm talking with people in India or Sweden or wherever, you know, it's a very early morning in order to align. So what are some of the things that you do to try to balance out how you map out your workday, seeing that you're dealing with so many different time zones and extremities that are ongoing?
And what I try to prioritize is my interactions with people. Mm-hmm. And normally, and what the way I used to do it before I grew up into this a little bit more, is you go to your email first. And a lot of us are conditioned to do that. The first thing we do in the morning, we roll over. If we have an alarm clock, we turn that off, and then we pick up the cell phone. And either we're surfing social media or we're checking our email box to see what happened the night before. Email is always going to be there. The people in your life, or the people that you need to connect with, the people who are dependent on you to accomplish their goals and objectives, they have a finite number of hours in a day. So, and I had to change that thought process and not go to the inbox first, but reach out to the individuals who I know cannot proceed with something that they have to get accomplished without my input or us talking about things. So that's going to put them at a stoppage point. So you're prioritizing those individuals, the ones who are different time zones, you're trying to get to them. So it's a decent hour on their time zone. Even if it puts you out a little bit, it's okay, because you're the leader. So I expect for us to put them ahead of ourselves a lot of the times. So it's depending on the reach that I need to get to, the impact of me not reaching them, what impact that's going to have, and whether I'm going to be at a stoppage point if we don't connect. So I kind of put them into that particular order to know who to reach out first. But the email, that's got to wait. That's with me all night long. I can do that while I'm watching a television show.
So there's a particular management style that it always gets a very bad aura around it when people bring up the style and control of everything around you, which we very well know is micromanagement. Mm-hmm. And so as a part of, like you've described, how you try to interact and engage with your staff, and you put them first so that you show that basically as a leader, you've got empathy towards their time and respect of what they need from you in order to be able to advance. Would you say that there's any micromanagement aspects that go on in your organization, whether it be you or some of your staff?
And that's the great thing I love about where I work at Alliant Group, because you hire very driven people, very intelligent, very smart. And the people that you look for in the interview process are those who are self-sufficient, those who are self-motivated. And when you hire very intelligent people, it's like, I just need to get out of your way. I'm here to support, help guide, help direct, and then let you run. I always say, if I'm at the point where I'm micromanaging, then I've made a bad hire, that it's not a good connection, because you want someone to have that independence. Now, at certain times, there will be where when you first come on board, we may have to spend a lot of time together because you're getting acclimated to a lot. But a good leader is going to have to know when it's time to back off, even if that professional is not very transparent with you, to say, hey, you're hovering a little bit. I've got this. Let me run. They've got to be able to recognize the cues. If a person's pushing you along, or they're not really engaged in the dialogue, or you're doing most of the talking, not them, those are signs that I'm probably holding on a little too tight. So you're trying to get them very comfortable to tell you that I've got this part, let's work on another piece. But until they get to that stage where they're good at being transparent with you, you've got to make it okay and read the signs, the nonverbal cues, if you will.
Sure. So when we start talking about, you know, in the context of, let's just say, shifting priorities. I mean, earlier on, you talked about shifting priorities, which, you know, it's certainly from my line of work in project controls and what I deliver on my management consultancy side of business. You know, it's very common, you know, priorities shift all the time, and things get pulled out of kilter from what you originally planned. So with regards to shifting priorities. I mean, like you stated, you guys try to hire high performance people. You try and bring on people that basically have a way to kind of, you know, once you release the bridle, you know, they're able to run. But have you ever encountered situations in the workplace where, you know, when you do shift priorities, there is a notion of egos or emotions that's kind of getting in the way of you being able to deliver successfully?
Oh, absolutely. So you'll get competing priorities, and my priority may not be someone else's. And you hear the whole adage, you know, your lack of planning is not my emergency. So right. Sometimes those priorities will just creep up that you're not expecting. So it's really important to be open and transparent and have a conversation, because you can find the happy medium in both sides. So I can make sure that you can get what you need while at the same time giving me what I need, kind of a quid pro quo way of making sure that everyone is doing what's best for the business. The reason we'll usually have conflict is when someone has moved out of company team self and it's all self, self, self. But if we're doing what's right for the company, what's best for the team, and then ourselves are the last part that we're trying to satisfy, usually you can come to an agreement, but then you'll still have individuals that sometimes, no matter how well you approach the conversation or try to get them on board or try to find a middle ground, sometimes it just does not work. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, you have to agree to disagree and say, well, how can I support you while still doing what I need to do? So you're still at the end of the day trying to be the bigger person for that. But yes, you will have those disagreements that just don't end on a good note. But still, we can walk away respectful of one another in that decision that's been made, that we agree to disagree. And you have to bring in someone else to the conversation sometimes.
Right, right. Totally understand. Totally understand. So, you know, as we talked about, or should I say, as I mentioned in our opening remarks, with regards to you cooking and dancing, you know, I'm assuming that those are aspects to how you kind of maintain a balance, you know, with your work and personal life, is by interjecting some fun. So share with our audience. I mean, what type of recipes are you cooking in the kitchen if you're pretending that you have a cooking show?
I will tell you, any new gadget that I get, I have to share with the world. I just feel everybody wants to know that I just purchased an Instapot. I just feel everybody wants to know that I just purchased an air fryer. So, and usually from that ruthless prioritization, it's things that don't have me over the stove all night when I've been working all day. So,
right.
But everything I do, I'm going to put to music. I am going to put to some happy moment, and you'll hear people comment like, where do you get this energy from? And it kind of lasts all day long. Even in the workplace though, we'll be, you know, somebody will say something and I'll just burst out in song that had that word in it. And so it lightens the mood a lot. So you got to inject fun in what you're doing. I mean, my team and I will have lip sync battles and competitions. We share videos back and forth. So a lot of cooking is going on in the kitchen. And the funny thing, I used to not be able to boil water. And Finally I started, I was like, well, let's see. I can follow a recipe. A recipe is nothing but instructions.
Yep.
And before you know it, there I am turning out things in the kitchen that I never thought. Red beans and rice is kind of my favorite thing that I like to make.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a Southern, dish from where your husband is from and where I grew up. It's definitely yes. One that we all revert back to.
Yes, I tell you, my grandmother could feed a lot. She had 10 kids, two sets of twins, and she could feed a big family with a pot of beans.
Right. So let's jump into another fun fact here. You know, there's a lot of talk, I mean, with TikTok going away and things that are happening, you know, are you putting videos out on TikTok? I mean, are you sharing those things with your staff? I mean,
I absolutely am. So they're like, and when I sent them my first TikTok video, they're like, TikTok was made for you. So, that creativity, that singing, that fun element. And I recently purchased one of those rings where now I can record my own videos without having to get my daughter or my husband to come record for me. So now I can be really dangerous.
Wow.
When I talk about being vulnerable, you want to share with your team, like, hey, here's my life. I'll send them a TikTok video on the weekend. It's like the fun never ends. It's ongoing. So you stay connected with them throughout, not just Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Absolutely. So certainly I'm going to go out there and see if I can track you down, on TikTok, just to see what you're all about, because...
And my prayer is that it doesn't go away. I've got to prepare myself for that if it does.
Yeah. You know, there's so many wonderful things that, you know, this COVID situation has brought about. Some have been positive, and then when you find something that people enjoy and they want to take it away, it's kind of a letdown. But obviously, when one thing goes away, definitely something else replaces it, and it comes back tenfold, even better and improved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So basically, as we kind of jump back on topic here a little bit, I just have wanted to throw in some fun factor, because I mean, that those two things, I think out of everything that I read with all the alkylates and everything that basically I read about, I was like, really? I was like, oh my God, those things just really popped. They popped off the paper.
Love it.
Oh yeah. That's what we're all about here at Cut to the Chase. It's just like, hey, let's just have fun and get right to the point.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I said, yes. So you want to, I mean, I have a pretty young team, and you know, you meet them where they are too. So, when they can see you again, that vulnerability, they see you in their world and interacting. We're connected on Instagram, all the other different social medias as well. And you can talk to them about life. They know what's happening in mine. If we're not talking about it, they get to see it on social media. And that helps drive that connectivity even more.
Yeah. I think you're providing wisdom at this moment to just about all leaders that are out there that have people working for them. I mean, you know, leaders have to be considered empathetic. Leaders have to have, you know, a way to connect back. You know, we did a podcast, and I can't remember what episode it was. I think it was episode 5, called Leaders Are People Too, where we basically just talked about the fact that, you know, even though you are a leader, you're still a human being. You're still someone that has to relate not only to your family, but to your employees, to your subordinates, so forth and so on. And what better way to try to connect with those people is to have that two-way street. And it sounds like, for me, you've kind of mastered that. And you know, my hats go off to you, because most leaders that I've talked to, particularly when you say, hey, are you familiar with TikTok? They're like, what? Tick who? Tick what?
Exactly right. Yes.
So that's like, hey, you know, you get the big virtual hug. Woohoo, you know?
Well, thanks. I mean, I believe it to my core, because I think when you can be silly, you can be vulnerable, you can show who your true self is, and you're not having to be this stuck up executive that people don't want to approach, then you're really going to stop or severely slow down the progression and development of your team and helping them be what they could aspire to be, because they're comfortable telling you their ups and their downs. And when they're struggling with something, when something's not going well, if I can tell them what my struggles are, and all of that makes them comfortable. You don't think that those little nuggets are making a difference, but at the end of the day, it really does. So if someone, I tell them, I said, I went through an issue with my daughter that she was dealing with at school. And I said, well, I'm going to have to take some time off on these Fridays, because I'm going to have to go to therapy sessions with her. And so when someone else was experiencing that on my team, because I was so open with what I was dealing with, they were very comfortable coming and talking to me about what they were going to have to go through in their ordeal. So we don't recognize what they are listening to, what they hear, what sinks in at that moment. But then when you see it come full circle, and now they're exposing something to you that they probably never would have before. I know I probably never will to a boss in my past. I probably would not have done that, but because they didn't make it comfortable for me to do so. So it really does pay dividends over time.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It brings forth the camaraderie and synergy within organization. It overall increases the morale. And like you said, the productivity and performance just really kind of goes through the roof. You know, I have to tell our listening audience, we still don't know to this day if we're actually kin, and I'm on a quest to find out, even though Kim Kim may not know it, but I'm still trying to connect the dots to figure out, because some of the things you've talked about, you know, they're just like right out of my playbook, you know, as being a leader. I mean, these are the things that you have to do in order to ensure you have a successful organization that relies on you just as much as you rely on them. And it's important to do those things. It doesn't matter how you do them, but you've got to find a way to connect. And certainly that provides like huge dividends. So let's jump outside of the dancing and the kitchen, and let's just talk about one quick thing here is, you know, outside of work and outside of the other fun factors of things that you like to do, what keeps you grounded? What keeps you focused on, you know, moving forward and continuing to be successful? Because you've had just an outstanding past performance, and now you're looking at, you know, this is where I am today. Where am I going in 10 years? What does that look like?
So I'm always at, that's a great question. I'm always asking myself, and I ask my team to do the same thing. What's next, right? So you've done these things, you've been successful, you've experienced that, you're at the top of the food chain, if you will, from the HR perspective, what's next? And I always say, now it's my time to give back. It's my time to bring others along. It's now time to see them spread their wings, if you will, and take these and do accolades 10 times better than what I have listed. And so I really get my joy out of giving back, mentoring, whether it's official or unofficial, always free to give advice out. I'll gallivant around the country talking to students about what their career path looks like. Find your dream, do something that makes you happy so you're not working. It's more of an enjoyment, something that you can't see yourself retiring from. So I love to pay it forward and continue to give it back, whether that's through any platform that I can use for that, I'm open to it. So I do believe in helping others be successful in what they're doing and achieve their dreams. Human resources can be a very complicated, complex field out there. A lot of people are trying to break through. Someone had to give me my first opportunity. And so I want to be that for someone else. I think that's the next chapter. And that's what's going to bring me the most fulfillment is now paying it back. Everything that someone has given to me, every person who's invested in me, now pay it back to someone else.
Wow. That is very, very inspiring. It sounds like you get a lot of fulfillment out of being able to take all of that experience and value. And like you said, you know, give someone else the opportunity to grow, to nurture, to foster, you know, through not only your dealings, but through those experiences that you've had to help put them forward. And, man, you know, have you thought about writing a book?
I actually have thought about that. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world of human resources. So I have thought about that, putting that down. But I will tell you, I will get every single email or in-mail that I get from LinkedIn or what have you. I will respond to those people that will ask me, can you do a mock interview for me? It's not even with my company, but I will do it. Can you look at my resume for me? I will do it because I really didn't have that. I went to find mentors growing up when I was getting ready to enter the job market. Career services were very different than they are today. So I would go find anybody that I could. And so I want to make that a lot easier for other people. I didn't know, you know, certain things about putting on your resume. I didn't know like exactly what to wear to a job interview. I wore a red suit my first job interview. Who knew?
Oh, wow.
It was my favorite suit to wear to church, and that's what I wore. But after I got the job, then the boss who hired me said, you know, you probably want to wear blue or black for an interview. So I get a kick out of going like what I had to, the fog that I went through to be able to now give this advice very freely and openly to other people. I feel that's my opportunity to pay back so that others don't go through what I had to go through and learn it the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's amazing because it's the paths of parallel are so similar between you and I. We have to be kin, man. I mean,
I believe it.
We think too much alike.
These Allens are strong.
Absolutely. So Kim, we're almost out of time here. I want to, you know, open up the floor for you to leave any final remarks with regards to our subject or anything that you find that may be of encouragement to our listeners. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, thanks so very much. And I just want to say, I know when we talk about prioritization and being ruthless in that, people generally think of work and life as two different lists, and they're not. It's all one list that you're putting all the things down that need to be looked after, whether that's family, whether that's kids, whether that's people who are reporting to you, whether it's what you're doing to accomplish goals for the organization, and all of that in the midst of a pandemic. So there's always time to be ruthless with your time, prioritizing that, letting the people who mean the most know how important they are to you. And it's never too late to start ruthless prioritization. And it's something that's going to sustain you time and time again, and give you the most hours back into your day and using it for the things that matter the most.
Wow. Well, you know, sometimes I always have like some stellar quote at the very end of these podcasts, but I'm left speechless. I mean, leaders, I mean, you must be cut from a different mold. I mean, I'm just like, wow, like, man, this is great. This is great. But anyway, to our listeners, this is episode 38. I'm your host, Gregory Proctor. This has been Ruthless Prioritization. Kim, we have enjoyed having you on board for this short period of time and sharing this experience. This has been an uplifting moment, I tell you. I mean, you know, sometimes leaders, they just don't come across the way you come across. But man, this has been good. This has really been good. So we certainly appreciate it. And to all of our fans, all of our listeners out there, please be safe. You know, our thoughts and prayers definitely go out to everyone. It's certainly a hard life out there for everybody. Please, please continue to do the right things. God bless. And thank you again. Bye-bye.